This is the Word in the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Well, today, Tom, Tyler, and I are going to be talking about the promises of God. This is an important topic for the Christian, important resources or graces that the Lord has given to his people are his promises. We have actually two EQ sessions, that's our equipping men, equipping women sessions on the promises of God, because we believe they are invaluable for the Christian in shepherding their heart with truth. And as we think about the promises of God, we need to understand what is a promise of God. And so when thinking about the promises of God, you could say it's any statement. So the promises of God are any statement he makes about his character, will, design, or action in the past, present, or future that we as humans can be assured is true and worth setting our hope upon. So that's a promise of God. Tom, I'd love to hear from you, just big picture, when thinking about the promises of God, what are ways that the Lord has used his promises in your life, in your care for your heart, and in your care for others?
Josh, there's so many different things I could say to answer that question, but I will start with understanding what the Bible is. The Bible is God's self-disclosure about himself. God tells us about how he creates. God tells us about how he saves. And as we look at Scripture, as God discloses himself to us, he makes so many promises about those that love him, and there's also promises for those that reject him. And as God discloses who he is and what he is doing and what he plans to do, he also allows his Bible, his word, to be a mirror for us to see who we are. And knowing who we are is why we cling to his promises.
Yeah, because we need them. And when we see ourselves rightly, it forces us to really see our need for him. And when we're driven to the word, because we recognize our need, we see his perfection, his greatness, his sufficiency. And there's great comfort, great encouragement in that. When thinking about the promises of God, we've been in 2 Peter as a church. And I think of 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. I think it's really insightful for us when thinking about why God has granted to us his promises. And Peter says, seeing that his divine power, this is 2 Peter 1, 3, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us. That's what you were talking about. When we come to God's word, we get true knowledge, both about us and about him, by his own glory and excellence. For by these, and that's his own glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. So through his own glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises with a purpose. And Peter says, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So really our entrance into the body of Christ, into Christianity, into fellowship with God, comes not because of the promises we've made of how we're going to clean ourselves up to God, but because of the reality and the truth of what he has done for us in Christ. And then as we're brought into faith, he has granted to us these precious and magnificent promises so that we would grow in holiness. And so God's promises for us are resources, graces, kindness of him, expressions of his kindness, so that we would grow in godliness. Now, you know, you're absolutely right, Tom. When thinking about God's promises, there's promises for the believer, there's promises for the unbeliever, there's self-disclosure of God, who he is, what he's going to do. Let's talk a little bit about the promises of God, those that Peter has in mind here, these precious, magnificent promises that aid us in sanctification. Talk about, and Tyler, I don't know if you want to speak to this, talk about some ways the Lord uses his promises just practically to help renew our mind that lead us to further godliness of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we'll talk about it a little bit later, but 1 John 1:9 is so helpful.
Mm.
Just thinking about if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. It is so helpful for me to remind myself, first of all, that God's promises are trustworthy because he is trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
As you guys were just talking about a minute ago, the fact that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not establish it? Numbers 23:19 says, I need to remind myself of my need. And then I run to him because he is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
As I think through myself and my weakness and my own sin, it is so comforting to remember Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. My mind might want to go all sorts of places. Oh, I sinned again?
Mm.
How could God show forgiveness again? How could he endure with me another moment? I don't deserve his grace. That's what grace is. Mm. I do not deserve it. And God has said there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Not because of anything that they did, but because of his grace.
You know, Tyler, just hearing what you just said is a reminder of how do we even approach the Bible? Do we approach the Bible when we read like an encyclopedia, we want information, or are we truly seeking to know God better? Because our heart needs to be, I want to know God better, and that's when the promises of God just come off the page as you're learning God, as you're studying God, as you're studying Jesus. His promises become more and more obvious than reading it just for the sake of checking the box on your, I want to get through the Bible in a year, but I just want to know. He's disclosed himself, and this is how he has chosen to speak to us.
Mm. Yeah, the battle of the Christian life is really starts with the battle of your thinking in your mind. And if you look at Scripture time after time, you know, Philippians 4, Colossians 3, the call to dwell on what is pure, noble, of good repute, the set your mind on things above. Even here in 2 Peter, there's true knowledge, and Peter comes back to that several times about the knowledge and the true knowledge. We know that the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, is a message of truth. Jesus calls or prays in John 17:17 to the Father, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And so the importance of what we know, of what we believe, and the weight that that bears on practical Christian living can't be overstated. In fact, how you live will be a result of what you believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when thinking about the promises of God, yeah, really, how fortifying is that when you're tempted to despair? Have I outsinned the grace of God? And as you referenced, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us all in righteousness. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And the list goes on of certainties of what God has done. You know, you keep reading in Romans 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God.
That's a promise.
That's a promise. How often do Christians find themselves in despair thinking that somehow they've outsinned the grace of God, I've taken it too far, there's no coming back from this, and we get in this slump of woe is me thinking because we're not thinking on truth.
Josh, you say that, and I think the flip side of it, the number of times where I have shared my faith and people have said, I can't be saved, I have sinned too greatly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reading, knowing that we were going to do a podcast today on the promises of God, is just in my reading this morning, I was in Psalm 37, and I was just taken aback of the promises, and I counted, and I do believe there's more. I quick count. I counted 33 promises in Psalm 37 of what God will do, and it just was just reaffirming. Depending on how you look at it, Scripture has clearly 3,500, and I would say I think it's closer to 8,000 promises that God wants us to know about Him. Hmm. In His Word.
That's a good segue. We're talking big picture about the promises of God today. Our plan is to have future episodes where we narrow in on those promises. So our next 8,000 episodes will be, no, I'm joking, that we won't do 8,000. We'll pick and choose some that we want to highlight. But our plan is to have several future episodes where we really dive in to each individual promise, to a number of different promises that have been particularly meaningful to us or meaningful in counseling or care, encouraging others. When thinking about the promises of God, 8,000 promises, estimation, Tom, I know there's many. There does need to be intentional thought given when reading our Bible as to whom those promises are for.
Absolutely.
While all of God's word is valuable and beneficial, there's not one vain promise or unbeneficial promise. It's also important to realize not every single promise is a promise to me specifically. Do one of you guys want to talk through that a little bit, just as we're thinking about the promises of God, reading our Bible, renewing our mind? What are maybe some safeguards that help us when we're looking at a self-disclosure statement or a truth so that we don't claim for ourselves promises that weren't for us?
I'll start, Tom, and then you can jump in.
All right.
One of the most common ones, a life verse that a lot of people have had is from Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares Yahweh, plans for peace and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." I am convinced that that is one of the most encouraging verses in our Bibles. And I am convinced that that verse, I cannot put myself in the you in that verse. Mm. When God was speaking to his people, Israel, through Jeremiah at this particular moment, he was talking to the people who were about to experience his wrath, his judgment against their sin. They were going to be taken into captivity and they were going to endure hardship because of their sin corporately. And this is an encouraging promise that God, talking to these people who are just about to go through unimaginable hardship as Jerusalem is sieged, and then they're carried away into Babylon, that they would hear, "I have a plan for you, and it is not going to end in your destruction, even though you deserve to be destroyed."
Right.
Yep. I am convinced that every passage in its context is so helpful for us.
Yep.
What does that passage teach me? God is faithful.
Yes.
He has not changed.
Yep.
He still shows grace and compassion and faithfulness to keep his promises today. Has he said that to me? No. Not this verse particularly to me, but he has said in Romans 8 that nothing will separate you from me. Anything, rulers, powers, authorities, death, nothing can separate you from your Savior. Yeah. And God is trustworthy. He kept this promise.
Yep.
He will keep the promises that he has given to his church as well.
Yeah. The only thing I would add, and it's just reaffirming what you said, is to know who the audience was that the letter was written to. And there are so many great helps in study Bibles that will give you an outline of the book, of who the audience was. that God is speaking to. But like Tyler said, it is God's self-disclosure. We are learning about God in this. And I would just even, because I don't have a clue who's listening to this, as you sit down to read, pray about why you are at the well that God has given us to know him. Just pray, Lord, make your word clear to me. Pray, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to love you properly, and I want to love you more. I want to know you. And I do believe God does answer that prayer. It's a prayer he loves to answer. But at the same time, we need to be diligent.
Yeah, I know when I've had conversations with people, and this is a new concept for them, they can feel like we're taking away something valuable from God's word. When there's a promise that I've thought was for me, and I come to the realization, no, it was these people at this time, the thought is, well, that was such an encouragement to me, and now I've had this encouragement taken away. And I love what you just shared, yeah, Tyler, because who knows how to encourage his people best? Who knows what we need best? God or us?
The Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd. Yeah. The Good Shepherd. Yeah. And while it might impact our emotional response, we actually want to know what God intended to reveal when he revealed, not impose our thoughts of what we want him to say. And so I think what you said, just asking the question, to whom was this promise made? Some of the categories might be, there are promises that were made to an individual. There are promises that were made to all of mankind.
Yep.
There are promises that were made to a specific people group, like the Jeremiah 29:11, the Israelites. And even just thinking about that, a little over 100 years, 117 years prior, they saw the northern tribes, Israel, be taken into the Assyrian captivity and wiped away. And now the same thing is happening to them in the Babylonian captivity. And God's saying, I'll be faithful. I'm going to fulfill my promise. I mean, just incredible encouragement here. And then you watch the promises that the Lord has given to the New Testament believer, right, and you go, I know my God will not fail. I know he will be faithful to this. He has only ever been faithful for every generation. And there's just incredible comfort and encouragement that comes to the believer in that reality. So simply asking the question, to whom is this promise being made, is a great safeguard.
Yep.
And then just humbly submitting yourself to what God has revealed, and not feeling like, you know, what God has actually revealed in a text is the most important thing and valuable thing that we could ever have.
And I would even ask the follow-up question, what does this passage reveal about God? Because that is applicable to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he has not changed.
Yeah. Especially, you know, when you look at that particular verse, we could read the Old Testament. We know what they deserved.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, I'll be faithful to do.
Yep.
I'll be faithful to save. I do have a plan.
Yeah.
And boy, is that applicable to us. We know what we deserve. Lord, thank you for your promises.
Yep. So helpful when thinking about the promises of God in the uncertainties of life, the fact that we don't know what the next moment holds, much less the next day, week, month, to come back to what we know concretely is true about God, who he is, his character, what he's done, is such a stabilizer in the Christian walk. And I've found it incredibly helpful for my own heart when all of life seems turned upside down, when the most intense moments of hardship or unmet expectations or even my own sin and circumstance, to come back to what God has said is true is so helpful. And also in caring for others, to know the promises of God is an invaluable heart shepherding tool for your own heart, but it also equips you to step into others' lives and give real hope.
Absolutely.
Because if all I had to lean on was my wisdom or my assessment or my well wishes of the circumstance, that wouldn't be very helpful. But to step into somebody's life and say, open up God's word, read this passage, what did he say? What do you know is true? It actually gives hope, gives encouragement, gives confidence, gives assurance, because it's not found in us or our situation, but in the God of our situation, the God of us.
It's amazing that the creator of everything would want us to know him.
Yeah.
Yep. And he so clearly speaks.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to diving into some of these promises more specifically. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.